So just to recap, maybe some of you guys are like, what is this Christmas thing? Maybe you haven't heard about it. Maybe you're just confused on what it is. And first off, if you see me crying, I'm not crying. I got something in my eye on Friday at work, and it's a thorn in my flesh right now. So I thought, oh, it'll come out. No, it's not coming out. So anyway, so this Christmas thing, this Christmas event, it'll be our Christmas service, okay? Instead of doing like a Christmas Eve service, we're going to do it on the 19th at 5 o'clock here. And there's things that you can get involved in. You can go with us next Sunday after church, pass out flyers, invite people to come. That's super important, obviously. We want to reach our community. There's also, we're putting together some shoebox gifts. We have 16 of them accounted for. Our goal is 30, so if you want to do that, see Annie. She's got some shoeboxes she can give you. You can do that, wrap them up, put them under the tree. There's a sign-up sheet for cookies or treats. We can never have too many of those, so as I will take all the leftovers if there's any left. So you can sign up for that, or you can sign up to set up and tear down and clean up all of that as well. So if you want to get involved in that, see Annie back there. She's got sign-up sheets and all that. And if you have questions, see Annie or Jenny. They can answer any of your questions for you, or Miss Carolyn, I think, as well. So get involved in that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great time just to get together. It's only going to be like an hour or so. We'll eat snacks. We'll sing some Christmas music. We'll hear the Christmas story. We'll hear some word, and it's just going to be a great time to come together and love on our community. So open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we got to I missed a verse 2 weeks ago for sake of time. I had to cut it off at the end. But a couple weeks ago, last week we talked about Thanksgiving and everything that we should be thankful for, both good and bad, because God works all things out for good to those that love him and called according to his purpose. So, but a couple weeks ago, we were we're coming to the end of our study in the book of 2 Timothy, and we're going to have one more message after this, and then we'll be done with 2 Timothy. So, but a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how some people come, some people go, and some people stay, right? And that happens in our lives, that happens in our churches, that happens in our workplaces, right? Some people come, some people, they like come, oh, we're hiring, so they come, right? Or we share the gospel, and they hear it, and they come. Or and some people go, right? Oh, there's a better job. There's something shinier. This church has better music, or whatever it is, right? Or maybe God is truly calling you away to do something different, and that's awesome. And then some people stay, right? Some people stay, as we've seen it with Luke, because Paul says, "No one is with me except for Luke." Here we find Paul locked up in the prison in Rome, and some people had left for bad things. Some people had left for good things. He's asking Timothy to come to him, but only Luke is with me, he says. So he's not alone. He has Luke, but he's desiring for Timothy, right? His dearly beloved Timothy, to come to him. But also at the end of that, in verse 12, I left verse 12 off. It says, "And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." And I just didn't have time to cover this a couple weeks ago, but I just want to talk about this for a second. Tychicus was like one of Paul's homeboys, right? When I was going through the Bible Institute, we had to pick a character, a Bible character, somebody that was in the Bible, and I picked Tychicus, and there's not a lot. I think I probably did this because I'm like, there's not a whole lot said about him, so I won't have to dig so deep, right? But basically what I came away with is that Tychicus was really one of Paul's homeboys. He was one of his closest companions. He was one of his closest in ministry. He was really a useful tool for the ministry. And he was sold out, all in, and he was about the ministry, about the business of the gospel. And you can see he's mentioned in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. I'll just read that to you real quick. It says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord." So Paul really thought highly of him because he was faithful, right? And he was a fellow servant. He was serving alongside of Paul. And he's mentioned a couple other times in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, and Titus chapter 3, verse 12. But he was just a faithful brother to Paul and was profitable to the ministry. So Paul knew there was much work to be done in the Lord, so he sent Tychicus away to do that. He sent him to Ephesus, which is where we find Timothy pastoring now. He was to deliver a letter to the Ephesians and to the Colossians and bring news of the apostle and what was going on in Paul's life and to deliver that to the congregation. But I think that one reason is he sent him to Ephesus because where do we find Timothy pastoring? Right? Paul says, "Come, I desire for you to come unto me shortly." Well, Timothy's a pastor in Ephesus, right? He had a flock. He had a church that he was tending to. And he can't just say, well, we're going to take a three-week break because I got to go on a journey, so you guys just go do whatever you want for 3 weeks. No, somebody needed to come and fill in for him. And here we find Tychicus going to Ephesus, and I believe that he was going to fill that role for Timothy to be able to be freed up to come to Paul. So, he had been trained up, and he was being used and just being the obedient worshiper part of the growing process, right? He's like, where can I serve? What can I do? Where's there a need? Where's there a role that needs to be filled? And he would go and do that. So that's the kind of believers that we need to be is those that just desire to serve Jesus in whatever it is, right? We need somebody to come and fill this role. Well, I'm equipped, right? I'm trained up. I can do that. I will do that. And just be willing to do whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be in the spotlight. So today we're gonna get through a portion right here, and then we're gonna get to where we're going. But it says in verse 13, it says, "The cloak that I left in Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our works." So there was some things that Paul needed, that he desired. He requested Timothy to bring some stuff when he comes, okay? Don't come empty-handed. The cloaks, the books, the parchments, and these were obviously precious to Paul, and Paul desired to have those because he had to leave them behind when he was ran out before. But here's what I don't want us to get confused with. Paul wanted these, right? He's requested Timothy to bring these. Bring with thee. Don't forget these things. But it wasn't because he wasn't content with what he had, right? Because in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, we know what Paul tells them. He says in Philippians 4:10, he says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." In verse 11, it says, "Not that I speak in the respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound, and everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So he wasn't saying, I have to have these things. I'm relying on these things, because Paul understood that no matter what he had the Lord, okay? So he wasn't trying to fill a void with some material things, okay? With this cloak and with the parchments and with the book, and we'll talk about those for just a second, but Paul was content, okay? He wasn't saying that if he didn't have these, that he was just going to quit or throw a big baby fit, you know, like we do when we don't have chocolate in the cupboard. If I don't get some chocolate, it's over, right? No, Paul was like, these things are really, they're needful. And you know what? Another thing is that Paul was human just like you and I. And sometimes we have those things that are like comfort things, okay? And I pray that these types of things are our comfort things, okay? A cloak, right? It was like a covering. It's December and it's been 75 degrees outside. We don't really need those things, but the parchment and the books, man, if that was what we were requesting, okay? When we go on missionary trips to the other side of the world, and a lot of times, you know, not because they aren't spiritual, but a lot of times they're like, man. Okay, so we went to Oaxaca last year, year before last, and you know what the missionary said? Man, I would die for some peanut butter M&Ms, right? If I could have some M&Ms, I would give my right arm for those things. But he wasn't like serious about that, but he was, because he's like, I will hoard these things and I will enjoy every one of them. So there's just some things that we miss, right? There were some things that Paul was missing that he was desiring to have, and you know, the parchments held the Old Testament, and he desired to have that. Here's what I want us to think about. Some of us at home, or in our cars, or maybe in our bags that we have with us today, have several Bibles in our possession. But one of them, hopefully, one of them holds something super special, right? I have so many Bibles that I've went through since I got saved because I'm hard on them, but there's one that I can't even hardly open anymore because the pages fall out. And but you know what? Inside of that is just full of notes and memories. And man, if something was to happen to that, I mean, obviously I wouldn't die, but I would be pretty upset because it holds something special. And it's a special thing. And Paul was requesting that these parchments be brought to him because, man, it was probably something like that. It was just something so special. Paul knew the word, right? He had hid the word in his heart and he knew it and he could recite it and he had memorized it. But man, to just lay your hands on God's word is just something so special. To have it sitting on your lap, right? It's just something so special. And today, in today's technology, you know, we can get the Bible 17 different ways on our cell phone, which is cool, right? Hallelujah for that. We can use that thing for something for good, but there's something special. It's hard to, you're going to be really hard on your phone if you start writing on the screen, making notes, right? There's something special about writing in your Bible and making notes in your columns and just being, you know, that way when you go back and you read it, it reminds you of what, man, what God was speaking to you at that time. And it's special. And Paul was, he's requesting that. And these things were needful for the ministry. So he requested Timothy to round him up, bring him with him. And he goes on to state that the Alexander the coppersmith did him much evil. And, you know, Paul, that was just the story of Paul's life. Right? People were after him. People were out to get him. People were out to make the ministry harder for him. And that's exactly what Paul needed, right? Was another person to make ministry harder. And here he finds himself locked up in the prison, and people are just still trying to make his life harder and bringing more pain and trying to distract Paul from the duty that he had, right? The duty that he was serving the Lord. And he states that the reward for such evil doesn't come from him. Right, Paul, if you pick, I don't know, I picture Paul, I've never met him, but I picture him as just this massive dude that he can just handle his own. And man, you know, in the flesh, he probably could have destroyed Alexander the coppersmith. You're like, you want to bring pain in my life? Let me give you some pain, right? But he didn't, because he's like, that's not my job. When people bring evil into my life, when people bring hard things into my life, it's not my job to retaliate. Because God will reward them according to their works. God will give them what they deserve. And Paul figured that out. And you know what? The sooner we figure that out, the easier our life is going to be to walk with Jesus, because it's not going to be easy. And people are going to try to disrupt us. People are going to try to destroy us. People are going to try to distract us. But God, man, he is faithful. And he is so awesome, because he doesn't, you know what? It's not like he's like, okay, I'm going to give you a perfect life. No, he's like, just follow me. Follow me through this rough life that you're going to have as you glorify me with your life. And just trust me. So my eye is watering so bad. So it's like making my nose water. I'm sorry. So today we're going to get into a passage today. I just had to get through that to get to where we're going. So in verse 16 through 18 is what we're going to look at today. And we're going to see here today something pretty awesome. And we're going to see that man crumbles, but God stands strong. And it's something that we all pretty much already know, but I love how Paul puts it here. And it says in verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we pray today, God, that we would just make sure that we're not putting our faith in man, God, because we're very understanding that man is going to fail. And aside from you, we are nothing good. And so, God, I pray today that we would check ourselves and what our faith is placed in. And, God, that we would make sure that it's you, because you're the only strong thing. You're the only strong tower. You're the only one that can withstand what's going on. And we can do that through you. So, God, we are thankful for that. And, God, I pray today you just speak to our hearts, be glorified through your word today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Paul was very aware of what was going on around him. Okay, he was very aware where mankind stood also when it came to the Lord. Just as today, the majority of the world does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And not much has changed since then, right? Except for there may be more people on earth today than there was then. But those that love the world, they want nothing to do with the word of God. Those that love the world don't love God's word, okay? The love of God is not in them. But here's the thing. The word of God is all that Paul wanted to have something to do with. He was contrary to the world. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Right? Where's our treasure at? Is it in earthen vessels? Or is it in spiritual things? Is it in the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul lived very contrary to the world. He did not love the world. He had been delivered from the worldly system. He was delivered from the grip. And you can see in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, Galatians 1, 1 through 5, it says, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the church of Galatia. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might be delivered from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So Jesus Christ gave himself, right? He was born. We're celebrating that this Christmas season, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin in the manger, but he lived a perfect sinless life, right? For 33 and a half years, he lived and he did ministry and everything was perfect. But man, it wasn't necessarily perfect what was being done to him, right? He lived perfectly through trials and tribulations, through persecution, all of that stuff. But man, to be delivered from this present evil world, that is what we should desire as well, right? Jesus is like, man, I just want to be with my Father, right? I just want to be with my Father. And we should be like that as well. Deliver me from this present evil world. Get me out of this place. And John 3:17 says, "For God sent not his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Oftentimes, if you're talking to somebody, sharing the gospel with them, or just having a conversation with them about the word, and they're like, "God is so condemning, right? Do this, don't do that. You can't do this, you have to do that." And you're like, "That's not the God I know. God is full of love and grace, and you know what? He's got so much mercy that he pours out on us, because if he was a God like that, man, we would just be like stick figures, right? We couldn't do anything." He didn't come to condemn the world, but he came that the world through him might be saved. And here's what I want us to realize as we go through this passage this morning. There will be, and may have already been, times that we feel alone, like we're all alone. And you know what? There's times that it's like overwhelming, that you feel like nobody's with me. I have nobody. I'm just so alone. And we've all probably experienced that. And as we go through things in life, there'll be without a doubt times that we feel like we have no one with us to go through it with us. Even the closest to us may seem so far away. And Paul had experienced this many times, and we're seeing one of those times now, again, in this passage. And though he clearly states that only Luke is with me, he could have also felt betrayed and abandoned because so many had left. Right? He had seen so many come and go. And in verse 16, we see Paul state, "But all men forsook me." When we feel as if man has forsaken us, how do we react to that? How do we react when we feel as all, man, everybody's just left? What do we do about it? There's some things that we can do about it. We can freak out, right? There's many times that things have happened in my life, and you know what? I've done nothing but just freak out. And nothing good came about it. But what about inside of ministry? Paul had some amazing fellow soldiers serving with him in the ministry, but for various reasons, some had left. Some for the world, some for the sake of the souls of others, but we do not see Paul freaking out here. Having a panic attack, like, "I don't have anybody with me." Paul realized and understood that he was not the one in charge, okay? Paul was like, "I'm just a servant. I'm just a servant of the Most High King. I cannot do nothing aside from him." He realized that everything that happened to him came from outside of his control. And in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto higher powers." Okay, so we understand that there's an authority structure in our life. okay? And some of us do not like authority structure. Some of us are like, I don't care for the authority structure that's in my life right now at all. But that does not mean that we can just say, forget it. The Bible tells us, let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Remember that, okay? So no matter what the authority structure is, the main authority in our lives must be the Lord Jesus Christ, must be God himself, okay?
Amen.
So,
amen.
For there is no power but of God, but the powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So we're subject to the authority over us, and we must trust that authority, okay, whether we want to or not. So though we find Paul locked up in prison at the time of this letter, he is subject to those that are placed over him, okay? He's being locked up. He has guards that are watching him. He has people that are making sure that he doesn't run away, that he doesn't break out. Just like in prisons today, if you've ever been to prison, good, bad, or any otherwise, I've been to a prison, not, praise the Lord, it wasn't for something that I had done, but you go in there, I'm like, how in the world do people ever escape out of these things, right? I've went through 8 doors. I don't even know where I'm at. But I guess if you have years to think about it, you can figure it out. But those people are very, prisoners in prison are very structured, okay? And what you see on TV and what happens in prison, I think are, you know, there's some truth to it. But until you go and experience it, I mean, we have Rich here, right? Is Rich here? Rich isn't here. Okay, well, we have Rich, okay? Rich is, Rich could testify for this, but it's not all bad, okay? It's not like it's just gangs and all of that, but that does happen. But they have to submit to the authority, because if they don't, there's some damnation coming into their life, right? Maybe in the form of a club or a padded room or something. So the same goes for us with the Lord, man. We must submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, submit ourselves to God, and trust him, because we're going to have to give an answer for that one day. Paul understood that the powers that were there had nothing to do with the power of the Lord, though. They had nothing to do to compare to that power. He had submitted his life to the Lord at the moment of salvation, and he trusted God to lead every single avenue of his life. And if that meant that he did ministry without anyone, that's how God intended it for. That's what God had the plan for his life. That was okay with him. Though, you know, he's very clear. He's like, man, Timothy, brother Timothy, man, I desire for you to come and see me, right? I want to see you one last time. And what about our family and friends? When we feel as though they have forsaken us. And some of us have experienced this, and I experienced this very clearly in 2008 when I submitted my life to Jesus Christ. And it was like cockroaches when the lights turned on, and everybody, it was like they were gone. Like, this dude has lost his mind. I don't know what's going on in his life, and we're leaving until he figures it out. Well, I'm still here. And you know what? What's awesome about it is that God brings those people, once they realize that, oh, this is real. Mm-hmm. There's some truth in this. His life has changed. And God brings us back. But you know what? Not all family members and not all friends are good influences in our lives.
Right.
And I figured that out really quickly when I met Jesus. I'm like, man, I have some really knot-headed friends and some really knot-headed family members. And you know what? God removed them. God removed them from my life because they were not good influences. And you know what? Some of these people that are in Paul's life, like this dude Alexander, not a good influence in Paul's life, bringing much evil into his life. And you know what? Paul loved him anyway. Some people just desire just to make life harder for someone else. Some desire to see us struggle and even fall. But what we must understand is that this purge is happening in our lives because God wants good to be in our lives and wants to remove the evil from that. And in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good, that to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And what man sees as evil, right? What meaning that something maybe that's been stolen away from us, God intends for good. Everything that God does in our life is meant for good, right? Instruction, correction, discipline, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God knows best. And the problem with mankind is that we tend to think that I know best. I have this figured out. And this happens when we allow our emotions to dictate our actions, because we're all emotional people, and I'm not talking about crying. I'm talking about we allow our emotions to rule us sometimes. And when that happens, the flesh monster is going to come out. And we're going to walk around like a flesh monster, emotional roller coaster. And it happens to the best of us sometimes. The flesh takes over. We go into panic mode. If God was removing people from my life, what in the world is going on? Why are all these people leaving? And then we realize, oh, God knew what he was doing. We need to allow God to open our hearts to see that. And, you know, sometimes it's removing stuff from our lives. And this can be defined as distractions. We pile our lives full of stuff. And when this stuff begins to burn up and rot away and get stolen, we go into survival mode. Paul traveled the land having nothing, right? Paul had nothing. He's requesting from Timothy, not a cheeseburger and a McChicken from McDonald's. He's requesting, bring me my cloak and a book and this parchments because that's what I need, right? He wasn't looking for comfort items. He wasn't looking for something, some chocolate. Chocolate's my go-to. Paul was like, he wasn't focused on that. We get so focused on our stuff, and I'm guilty of this. We give our full attention to that stuff. And what Paul had figured out is without all this stuff, is it freed him up for what truly mattered. He didn't have all these distractions, right? He didn't have 837 cable channels and all of these things and all of this. And he didn't have all that. He was very free to move about the world, okay? He didn't have things that tied him down, like a 30-year mortgage and all of that, right? Like some of us have. Rent payment, whatever it is. He didn't have that. He's like, I'm going to take my tent that I made, and we're going to go over here, and we're going to visit these folks, right? And then eventually he's like, well, I'm going to stay right here in this prison cell in Rome because this is obviously where God wants me. And he was cool with that. Not necessarily cool with that, but he's like, this is what God had intended for me, so I'm going to preach the gospel till my last breath. He could give his full attention to the work of the Lord. So what is truly amazing about the Apostle Paul is this, that no man stood with him. Though he had been abandoned, he did something truly amazing. He prayed for them. He prayed for them. My first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God. He prayed for them. He said, I pray God it may not be laid to their charge. How often do we pray like that, right? Somebody stole something from me. God, I pray that they're not found guilty. We don't do that, right? We're like, I pray justice gets their tail, whatever, you know? I've done it. Man, if we could change our attitude of that and pray for our enemies and pray for those that abandon us and forsake us and all of that, that's going to change us, but it's also going to change them. Right? It's going to change. God says, ask according to my will, right? His will is that all men repent. All men place their faith and trust in Jesus. Paul had something figured out. He asked God that, man, don't lay any charges towards them. Instead of asking for evil he brought to be brought upon, he's not asking for justice. He prayed for forgiveness. Paul followed the teaching and the model of Jesus, which is what we are to do, right? You say, I'm a disciple, I'm a follower of Jesus, but your actions are contrary to that. It's like, that's called being a hypocrite. That's why the church is called a hypocrite. Oh, you follow Jesus. You weren't following Jesus Tuesday afternoon when you flipped me off driving down the road, whatever, you know? It's just, we have to remember what we do represents who we are. Man, we forget sometimes because we're not in the building. Man, we are the church everywhere, guys. We're representing Jesus. Paul knew that he followed who he followed, and he knew how Jesus reacted in the midst of trials. Jesus Christ was forsaken by all. But yet as he hung on the cross, what did he ask God? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing, God. Father, they are clueless. But God, please forgive them. I pray we can find that attitude in our lives. I'm praying that for myself, that, man, I could have that attitude that I'm like, you know what? The world is just clueless. And you know why they're clueless? Because we haven't taken that to them. Because we haven't get the word to them. They don't understand because we haven't been obedient to take the word of God to the world. And we're like, well, somebody will do it. Well, our days are ticking. Our time is, it's just like the countdown clock on there. We have one of those, and our time is running short. And you know what? We'll go next Sunday and we'll pass out flyers, but how many of us are willing to pass out God's word and just speak it, right? It's easy to say, hey, we're having a Christmas thing. See you later, right? Or, oh, they're not home. We'll stick it in their door, right? We'll do that next week. I promise you, right? Like, oh, I hope they're not home so I don't have to talk to them and I can just slip it in their door handle. Man, what if our desire was, I pray they're home so I can tell them about my Jesus? And it's easy to talk about it right now, but man, when we get out there, our stomach gets tied in knots and our tongue gets all tied up and we're like, and we get hot sweats and, you know what I'm talking about. Paul understood that the world was full of tribulation, that if he allowed the world to dictate his walk, that he would not experience that which God provides. In 1 John 16, in verse 31 through 33, it says, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So this temporary tribulation that we're facing today, it's temporary. And this world is not our home. If we're saved today, our home is in heaven. We're seated together in heavenly places. There was a time coming that Jesus would not be there physically with them. And there was a time coming that God would scatter them as well. Some scattered before this even happened. And at this very moment, everything was amazing. They had each other. They had Jesus, right? They were just a holy posse. They were just traveling around doing things and seeing Jesus heal and do miracles. But there was a time coming when they would scatter. They would run for the hills. Their lives would be at stake. And they would just be like, I can't be here for this. I got to go. I got to go and hide. And this happens in our lives. This had to happen. The scattering had to happen so the word could get where it needed to go. And Paul was fruit of this. And now Paul stands to state that he was, though his posse is gone, his homeboys are gone, I forgive them and ask God to forgive them. And he goes on in verse 17, it says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And though as many as had left him, God stood with him and also strengthened him. And this is a promise. Okay? God tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And when we feel abandoned and alone, we must understand that that is the flesh. Okay? It's the flesh. Because, okay, so if my wife goes on a trip and she's gone for the weekend, man, I feel like, man, I'm alone, right? Because my wife's not with me. That's my flesh. That's my flesh that's like, I desire to have Annie with me. I desire to see her. She's beautiful. I desire to be with her and talk to her. And that's our flesh speaking. And we have those moments. We're needy people. And you know what? Some of us just desire to be surrounded by other people. We need those around us to encourage us and help us. And you know what? That's a good thing. It is. If they're encouraging you and helping you and helping you to grow, that's great. We need each other for that. But what we must understand is that the flesh is temporary. These relationships that we have today are temporary. But just as Paul states here, God stood with him and strengthened him, and he does the same for you and I. This is why we put our faith in God and not in man. Because in Psalm 118, 8 through 9, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. We must put our faith and trust in Jesus. This does not mean that everyone will do this. But we read that it's better. It's better. Better if I do, because God has our best interests at hand, right? He loves us and he wants us to love him, and he desires for man to serve him. Paul needed that strength that only can come from God, because Paul knew that the Gentiles, man, they're waiting. They're waiting to hear the word of God. And this was something that he could not do in the flesh. It would be hard. with too many obstacles. So he understood that God's faithfulness would be what he needed. He needed God to strengthen him, to give him the strength, the courage, the boldness to go and deliver the message to a bunch of lost people and, man, to see the masses become born again. It was going to be hard. Paul says at the end of verse 17 that he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He was delivered out of the grips of Satan, the punk himself, right? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says this. Some of us know it, right? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Paul was a real threat to the punk. He is a punk, right? He is. And before Paul met Jesus, he was a true tool of the devil, just like you and I. And he had been delivered from that. And we should rejoice in that, because, man, that punk ain't my daddy no more. In verse 18, it goes on that Paul was very aware that he was a threat to the devil and that there would be attacks as he went throughout his life. But what he was more aware of was that God fought the battles for him. And that God would deliver him out of every evil work. And he says it, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He was confident that God stood sure in his life and that God would go before him and prepare the way. And in Deuteronomy 31:8 says, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before me. He will be with thee, who will not fail thee, neither will forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Who is leading our walk today? Who is? Who is guiding our steps today? You know what's really awesome? It says, and the Lord shall deliver me out of every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. We can't focus on the earth, right? We're preserved in heaven. Oftentimes we let the infirmities that we face here on earth dictate our actions. When we need to realize that, man, this world is temporary. I just get to be here for a moment. I have a job to do. I need to do it. And I need to look towards the end and look towards being with Jesus Christ, being there in heaven. Man, and if we could focus on that, this would be so much easier here. So who's leading our walk? Who's guiding our steps? Paul was confident in this very thing, that God was the one leading his life. And he understood where his home was. He understood that God would preserve him, not on this earth, right? Some of us are like, man, I wish I could live forever. Oh, man. That's a pretty bad wish. Except for we do get to live forever. In heaven. Take our eyes off the world, right? Off the things of this world. Love not the world, not that we're the things of the world, right? Sometimes we are so in love with the world that we're like, I wish I could live here forever. You know what? Scientists are trying daily, right? To figure out a way to extend man's life. Well, God is the one in control of that, so good luck. And it's not going to change, okay? I don't like being 41. I can't imagine being 141, right? That's just retarded. I'm like, why would you want, my body hurts bad now. But we can hook you up to machines, sir, and you can live till you're 141. No, thank you. Let me go be with Jesus. So take our eyes off the world. Take our eyes off these things. Take our eyes off the temporary, and let's focus on the eternal and the forever. Paul had it figured out. We need to figure it out. Some of us do. Some of us don't. I pray that we can state the same thing in our life that Paul says here, that God will preserve us and we will one day be with him in heaven. God leads us and we must submit to him. We must submit our lives to him, looking towards the day that we are with him in paradise. Not allowing the things of this world to distract us, but getting the word out while there's still time, okay? That's what we need to be doing. We need to grow. We need to get ready. We need to prepare. We need to be taught. We need to be learners. And we're always going to be learners, but there'll come a time in our life when the learning needs to begin to be getting out unto other people, right? Teaching others so that they can teach others also, right? It's biblical. That's what we're here to do, to reproduce. And it happens, right? And it's amazing to see God do that, even when we think, I know everything. And then we realize, man, I know nothing. And I need to continue to learn, and I need to continue to have him teach me. And man, that's called humility, and we need to be humble people. We have to get the word out because it doesn't do any good to be on our shelves. It doesn't do any good to just be in our pockets. We need to get it out. Souls are at stake. And God has us here for this very purpose. And I want to close with a passage out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And, you know, God desires to lead every step of our life, but oftentimes we get out in front of him, or we get off in right field or left field, and we're like, hey, I'll be okay for a little while, and I'll find my way. And before you know it, we're like a hiker hiking. Have you guys heard of the lady that went hiking in the Appalachian Trail, or whatever trail that is, through the Appalachian Mountains? And she died and was lost for, I don't know, a year before they found her or something. And she did some things wrong. She didn't check in. She, you know, there were some things that she did wrong along that walk that, you know what, she had walked for days and days, months maybe, I don't remember. But you know what, she began to get confident. Oh, I can do this. You know what, I can do this on my own. And she was found in a ditch dead. Year or so later. The same goes for us, man. When we were walking along and we were like, you know what, God, I kind of got this one today. And then we find ourselves dead in a ditch. Maybe not physically, but spiritually.
Right.
We're laying there and we're like, well, I couldn't do this. This didn't turn out the way I intended. But I want to read this passage to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 1 through 18. It says, therefore, seeing we have the ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation, the truth, condemning ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and to whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, that therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but yet a moment, worketh for us as far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I close with that because I want us to think about some things, right? We think, man, the world really needs to change. There's so, man, that person, man, they are just a knothead. They really need to change. And if we would apply verse 3 to our lives and understand that, if our gospel be hid, it is him to them that are lost. We're hiding it. We're hiding it. Whether it be the way we walk, whether it be the way we talk, whether it be whether we're opening this word of God to ourselves and to others, we're the ones hiding it. God isn't hiding it from them. We're hiding it. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who in the image of God, should shine unto them. We have the light. And we need to be allowing that light to shine through us. Because we're not preaching ourselves, right? We're preaching Jesus. We're preaching who Jesus is. And we need to allow him to lead our steps and just be obedient worshipers to him. And just allow him to work in and through us. And just allow him to, just have full control. Because, man, there's going to be things that happen. We're troubled on every side, just as we read here. Yet, we're not distressed. We're not perplexed. But not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, right? We're victorious. If we're saved today, we are victorious in Jesus. And he wants us to live that way.